It is Thursday. That means it's our thought leader conversation. We're happy to have with us Chuck Garcia today, the Director of Commercial Deposits and Treasury Management at Associated Bank. First of all, let's welcome in Chuck. Chuck, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
I learned some things in preparing for today, and one of the things, I didn't know what ACH stood for, first of all, and then I didn't realize it's been 40 years since automated clearinghouse payments have been around.
Correct.
Both of those things are becoming so important today in modern banking. Talk to us first about how it's progressed in those 40 years and why it's so important.
Well, I think in the very, very earliest stages, and I'm kind of going back in the memory banks a long way back, but really the early stages were really oriented toward a lot of government type of payments. So payments that were Social Security and things of that, really more oriented to the original days of ACH that enabled people to be paid versus a check and certainty of payment and a much lower cost payment vehicle. I'd say the next stage is really oriented toward corporates beginning to say, hey, this is a good system. Can we use this? They did start to use it. Banks began to create a more mainstream product set with ACH and develop products. It also, not to derail things entirely, but also created different services for particularly large corporates like auto industries and so forth, where they created different information sets that they could share information. So not just the payment via the ACH channel, but an electronic data interchange, often called EDI, spawned off of that as well. So it's taken a lot of different turns. And I think today, with where we are with same day ACH credits anyway, soon to be ACH debits as well, has really put us more in the status where much of Europe has been for quite some time.
Let's talk a little bit about this specifically. What do we mean when you say same day ACH payment?
The original ACH processing windows said that a file from a customer, so if I'm company A and I want to pay you your payroll, so company A is going to give you your payroll, they had to have that file at the bank at least 2 days in advance. It's a batch process. It still is a batch process. So it was a batch process. It would basically be warehoused at the institution. Funds would then be released on 15th, 31st, whatever your pay date is. But that file had to be at the bank at 2 days in advance. With today's same-day ACH, a file could show up at the bank in the morning and say your company forgot to pay you or your new employee, whatever the case may be. Today, that file could show up in the morning. You would see same-day funds in your institution same day. So still a batch process. It's not a real-time payment like a wire transfer, but a batch process, and institutions can now process that payment on a same-day basis.
Same-day and ACH payments, from the consumer standpoint, I immediately thought of when I do my banking online and send off payment to a bill or either pay my mortgage or whatever, sometimes it says 2 days, sometimes it says 1 day, sometimes it even says 4 days.
Yes.
Now, from a consumer standpoint, does this mean it's all going to be the same day?
Not necessarily. Really, you can put effective dates around things. So if you know, hey, I get paid on the 15th, my insurance payment is due on the 15th, you can process those on a forward basis. You could send the file or the transaction today, but say, I want it to hit my account on the 15th. So there's flexibility around that. Or conversely, if you forgot to pay somebody and today is the deadline or you're going to get an extra fee, whatever the case may be, you can actually initiate that transaction today. And that's a really, really big benefit to consumers as well.
Yeah, I know. I've been there a couple of times where you see that 4 days and you're like, duh. I would imagine, too, that this has taken a lot of manpower out of the banking process, hasn't it?
Well, it has, but it creates new manpower. You know, I think back again, you know, when you look back at the origins of ACH, I remember being at conferences in those days, and the advent of the check's death was imminent, and either fortunately or unfortunately, however you want to call it, the check is not dead, but certainly payments using the ACH rails, be they to consumers, business to business, have really taken many of the checks out of the system. But so different technologies have had to be created. It's a much, much lower cost vehicle for both corporates and banks to use. But there, it also has created new technologies that have to be managed. there's fraud within the system that has to be managed. So many of the manual intensive elements have certainly gone away, but there's also new technologies and new employees that have to be around this as well.
You mentioned fraud there, and I've been reading a couple places that with the same day, you would think that as you speed things up, you're going to have more room for mistakes. But at least a couple surveys have found that's not been the case.
That is true, because if you think about it, if a file is sitting warehoused for a day or two, or sometimes 4, 5, 6 days, depending on what a company does, the chance of that being compromised are much higher than something going in the morning, payments are out in the system. The reality is there's fraud opportunity everywhere, but yes, I think those statistics are showing.
So something moving at the speed of light, you're less likely to be able to stop it moving at the
speed
of light.
That is correct.
This all comes back to we've talked about this before, the disruption of traditional banking. Mm-hmm. Does this fall into that category where we're seeing more digital, more technology coming in to make all of these processes move faster and better?
It does, and I think really oriented toward corporates, certainly, but consumers as well. I think we'll continue to see that evolution take place. And I think the smartphone, the utilization of smartphones, the technologies around that, the fintechs and their ability to create, I mean, they're amazing how quickly they can create different services that people go, hey, I like that. I want to use that. Again, everything has a plus and a minus. But I think the opportunity for things to continue to evolve are just, frankly, they're endless.
Is it a case like with Associated Bank? Are you and other banks, are your peers in this, are you keeping up with the technology? Is it a constant daily struggle to make sure you're right there with everybody else?
Yeah, I think it really has to go with the strategy of your organization. There are certainly some of the major money center type banks. I think the feel that they have to be more on the cutting edge and their ability to do that is much stronger than an Associated Bank. I think knowing where your niche is, where you think your opportunity areas are, where your clients are, what they need, that's really our objective. So I would say our objective will always be more of a close follower. But we absolutely keep tabs on what's going on in the industry, both newsletters, different mm-hmm. types of things that we subscribe to, et cetera.
This I love our thought leader conversations because it often gives us an opportunity to go behind the scenes of a bank. And this might be one of those behind the scenes questions. Do you, when the conversations are going on about all of this future technology stuff happening, do you get clients calling and saying, hey, we would like to do this? And then you say, yeah, we're thinking about this. Is it what are those conversations like?
You know, they're always really positive. We like to think we bring more ideas to our clients, but certainly when clients either attend a conference, read something in a newsletter, watch the news, whatever, absolutely. I see more of that oriented in the consumer space than the corporate space that I'm responsible for, but absolutely on both fronts. And we have to, again, be opportunistic with where we sit in the marketplace, but also we have to be able to fill the needs that our clients are seeing in the marketplace competitively, whether it's price or feature function. And this is really the feature function discussion that we have to keep pace.
I was surprised when you mentioned that we're sort of behind the rest of the world when it comes to these ACH payments. How behind and who was beating us out in these areas?
Well, you look at Europe, I think that's one. You look at Canada, first, there are far, far fewer banks. I mean, so you look at the sheer number of banks we have and the payments that have to run through all of the banks of all different sizes. Mm-hmm. Europe has been so far ahead of us in the card business, not using cash. There's still a lot of cash in our system and a lot of checks. Now, I'm not saying there's none in the other systems, but they've far outpaced us in terms of ridding themselves of checks and cash.
Yeah, I have a friend who lives in London, and she always gives me grief because every once in a while I'll have to send a check somewhere. I send them, thankfully, through my bank. I don't have to buy them anymore. But I know people who are still using checks to this day in the U.S. She kind of laughs at that.
True.
So that is, when do you think we'll be weaned off of checks, or do you think we will at all?
Well, again, kind of going back, 25, 30 years ago when there were supposed to be none by the year 2000, here we are in 2017, and there are still a lot of checks in the system. So I don't see that any time in the near future, unless there's another disruptor that comes about that says, this is the answer, we don't need checks anymore. The certainty of writing a check and feeling like I sent this to whomever is still a very positive thing. Maybe as the generations go away that are so accustomed to that, maybe, but I am still not a, I'm still a skeptic there.
Yeah, and it's funny because of the people I do know that use checks, every once in a while they try to put a check in the mail today for their mortgage and kind of post-date it. They still think post-dating works, and they try to buy themselves a little extra time.
True.
This ACH discussion, it's, you know, it's there today. I could see why somebody with a check would want to delay it a little bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about some of the disruptors. Who is one of the biggest, would you say, in your industry right now?
Well, you look at a LendingTree. Mm-hmm. I think that's the one that they're very large. I think they had some ups and downs in the last 18 months, but I think they were the first really big disruptor as it relates to creating a different channel. Cabbage is out there for loans to companies. You hear them on any radio station you listen to. They're advertising prominently. It's easy. Dollars up to a certain dollar amount, it's very readily available. So if you're a small business or an entrepreneur, those are major disruptors. In the technology side for payments, they're endless out there right now. I think that's, again, where we have difficulty keeping up with all the new things. But those are the two really big ones that I think have really taken a mainstream. And I think they'll continue into the card space, into real-time payments that we talked about a little bit here, utilization of the smartphone, et cetera.
It is on a week when we're talking about the Whole Foods deal closing with Amazon, we think to Amazon. And, you know, you see the headlines that Amazon and Facebook are possibly the biggest threats to the banking industry. One doesn't think of Amazon in this space.
You don't, accept the fact that they have their cloud-based storage, mm-hmm. and all the big names utilize Amazon's storage business. So I think their opportunity to enter that space, again, they've shown they can enter almost any space they want to, so why not?
And Facebook, too. Is Facebook the instant payments, is that how they're going to play into
Very
this?
Very possible. Yeah. I think the one thing, and this is the American settling, so much of the settling of payments resides with financial institutions today. Over time, I think the ability, Venmo, things of that nature, mm-hmm. people-to-people payments, that will continue to evolve and I think grow, and especially with the younger generation. That's just how they pay each other.
Yeah, Venmo is one of those that I hear a lot of kids using. But, you know, as somebody who's a little older, I always think I'm more secure going directly through my bank. Is that a misunderstanding on my part, or is it always safer to stay with your bank when it comes to money?
Well, again, I don't want to paint the picture that none of us are not safe with any type of payment vehicle, but I think it depends on the type of payment too. If I'm paying you $14 because you bought me a movie ticket, that's one thing that's different than, you know you have to have your car payment. You know you want to pay your mortgage, your insurance. I think people still feel much more secure utilizing a bank for those transactions. Again, over time, I think that will change.
Do you think it's possible that when we talk about Amazon and Facebook being disruptors in this, that they could put banks out of the business in some cases?
In some cases, sure.
Really?
Some elements of the banking business, sure.
Hmm. I don't know how that landscape would look to see banks disappear and be what would the first bank of Amazon? Would that be what the title would be?
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure they don't need any branches. So, you know, that overhead that we all have and people's security of wanting to use a branch, Amazon probably wouldn't be very interested in that.
I keep reminding people through the year as we do the thought leader conversations that these are predictions that we made at the end of last year, right? I remember when you talking about all the disruptions we'd see. Are you seeing any surprises in your predictions, do you think?
I don't think there are really any surprises. I think there are probably some things out there I don't even know that would be surprises. I think that, again, keeping abreast of what those are in our industry and the applicability to our clients is going to be it's part of the fun part of the business, too. So it isn't just the same every day, but I'm absolutely sure there are things I'm not aware of that the bank isn't aware of that will be disruptors in, you know, the coming months and years, for sure.
Chuck, did you get to see the eclipse?
I only got to see it on the web.
On the web. All right. Well, they say the eclipse always brings change, and here we've been talking about change all morning, so who knows what we're going to see the latter part of this year.
Absolutely. I'm still a believer of maybe one more rate change. That seems mm-hmm. to be diminishing in the past few months, but I'm still kind of a believer of that one as well.
All right. Chuck, good to see you. We'll see you next time.
Likewise. Thank you.
Chuck Garcia is the Director of Commercial Deposits and Treasury Management at Associated Bank. It's our thought leader conversation. And remember, you can listen to past conversations at WGNradio.com on the opening bell page. You can also head over to AssociatedBank.com/thought leadership and make sure you follow Associated Bank on Twitter @AssociatedBiz.